When you think about AARP, you no doubt think about aging. In reality, AARP Iowa is all about family. From lifting up family caregiving concerns to the Iowa legislature, to providing reliable information on fraud, to supporting art and culture, AARP is all about creating a better state for all of us. Learn more and get connected with the real possibilities of AARP Iowa. Google AARP Iowa and let's get started with you and your family. AARP Iowa. We're really about possibilities.
What is executive presence? When someone talks about an individual possessing professional or executive presence, they are talking about the perception that person creates through how he or she interacts in formal and informal settings, in all modes of communication. Terrell International offers a one-day professional presence workshop where you learn how to develop and consistently communicate your professional brand. Visit terro.com. That's TERO.com to learn more. This is Michelle from the Terro team.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of AARP Iowa. Real possibilities for people of every age. AARP Iowa and Country Vet Naturals. Loved by pets, trusted by owners. CountryVetNaturals.com.
Welcome back to the Business News Hour. It is Marketing for Business, episode 19, ladies and gentlemen. We can be married. Oh, wait a minute. You can be married at 18, I guess, right?
Yeah, and it's legal in Iowa now, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, just don't tell our wives. Yeah,
exactly. Phil K. James, ladies and gentlemen, Good Milkshake Digital is on the broadcast with us. Well, how you been?
I've been great. Good. I've been great. It's been a really fun week of hanging out with my kids and doing digital media. And
your kids go to all-year school.
Yeah, they go. It's partially all-year round. Right. They have a five-week summer vacation at the downtown school, downtown Des Moines.
Nice.
And
I like that system.
We just had conferences today, so.
I like that system. Our granddaughter is 10, and, of course, she's in a traditional thing where they take 2.5 months off. And I think it loses something in the transition.
Yeah.
You know, you keep them more engaged. But anyway. Yeah.
Well, I remember my summers. And, you know, we would just go outside and play baseball all day.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I still had a Nintendo, too. Don't get me wrong. Yeah. But we would take the directory of all the kids in the Little League, and we would split up the directory. Talk about sales training.
Yeah, really?
Way to, you know, we would call, you know, between three or four guys, all the kids that we could think of that we wanted to play in our pickup league in our backyards. We had a huge backyard in Beaverdale. It was actually a former farmstead that it was in one of our neighbor's yards.
Wow.
And, you know, turned into a housing development. But we went and actually, you know,
we
would recruit all these kids. And we would end up with, you know, 18, 20 kids on a field. Everybody
That's
got a chance
serious,
to play.
Phil.
I mean, this was and we had real bases, real base paths.
Wow.
We measured the fences, put signs up for distances for home runs and stuff. It was great. great life. But anyway, I regret for my kids not having those extra 3 weeks or so.
Because
I remember so fondly when I was 12 years old that summer. It was great. Great summer.
Yeah, we spent our summer, of course, I'm from Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
We spent our summer building cars.
Oh.
Not real cars, but like Pinewood Derby cars and box cars. You know, we take skates and put them on 2x4s and then go like hell down these hills.
Yeah.
And we would have lookouts at the bottom of the hill to stop traffic.
Yeah.
And we'd go
no
visit.
Knee pads.
Yeah, no knee pad,
yeah.
No helmet.
No.
Nothing, you know, just go roaring down these things. Must have been doing 30, 35 miles an hour.
Right.
You know, about an inch off the ground. Then we found ways to make the axle stronger,
uh-huh.
And then went to rubber wheels rather than skates.
Oh, even better.
You know? Oh, yeah. But the problem was at the end of this, there was two hills on Manordale Court. One hill, it leveled off for about 50 feet, and then a second hill.
So you would actually make it all the way up the second hill?
We were going downhill.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what I mean.
Okay, so we go down the first hill, level out, go down the second hill. By the time you hit the second hill about halfway down, you're doing, 35 miles an hour.
That's awesome.
The problem is, at the end of that second hill, the road tees.
Wow.
So your brakes had to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I live to tell about it, you know, just...
I'm sure Ralph Nader would have had a field day with that, wouldn't he?
So there you are playing baseball in Des Moines, and I'm in Detroit building cars.
Yeah.
So it's cultural.
Yep.
All right. Marketing for Business, episode number 19. What do you got on your mind, Phil?
Well, a couple things. Number one, I'm curious about trying to increase the income for people who have extraordinary knowledge.
Increase the income of people who have extraordinary knowledge.
And you know, we have an entire world of 2.5 billion people that are on the internet every day, 3 billion, some say, and growing every day. You know, I like to think of the country of, or the continent of Africa, where it's probably, you know, the biggest open season right now on the internet, is that telecommunication companies have quit making telephone lines.
Right, yeah.
They're just putting up cell towers everywhere. And, you know, if for example, in Kenya, if you want to, you know, nobody has wallets anymore. It's all mobile payments. Pretty incredible. So I just think about this world, how fast it's growing and how ridiculously connected everybody is. This morning I had a conversation with a guy in Mumbai, where like 5 years ago I might have thought,
where in the hell's Mumbai?
Right. And I probably would have thought, okay, you know, it's an enormous city. It's like one of the top 10 cities in the world, mm-hmm. population. And I would have looked down on it. You know what I mean? Not that, like, because we're just so Amerocentric, right? We think we're just the best and brightest. And I saw some of the work this guy did. It's incredible.
What's he do?
He does web design and graphic design and stuff like that. So the point is that there's talent all over the world. There are people like you, Michael Libby, that have a talent in broadcast journalism. You understand how to mix stuff. You understand video. You know, social media game is strong. You know how to do, like, everything. So what's stopping somebody like you from taking the talents that you have and teaching that in a course that you can sell online to the 3 billion people on the planet that are out there doing this?
Look, food came.
Yeah.
We're out to lunch, as a matter of fact. We forgot to say that. We're out to lunch at Saison, a kitchen and pub in the beautiful city of Windsor Heights.
The village of Windsor Heights,
where your father lives and your mother.
Yeah, mom and dad live there. In fact, my two of my kids are over at grandma's house right now, hanging out.
Just down the street.
Right.
See,
so, like, okay, here's a perfect example. There's a guy named Pat Flynn. He's you might have heard of him, kind of an internet genius guy. About 8 years ago, 9 years ago, he decided he was an engineer. And right before the housing crisis, he decided that he was very, very good at, he was a LEED, you familiar with a LEED engineer certification. Mm-hmm. So he became certified, and he took all these notes, and basically in order to study for the test, he wrote them all into a website and just put them on the internet for free, right? And so what he decided to do was, he was getting so much traffic on this thing. He was getting, you know, 1,000 hits per day from engineers that were going to his site. They were just going to his site, just, you know, reading up on how to become LEED certified. He said, okay, there's something here. I'm just going to put an ebook out and see what it does. He sold hundreds of them within 24 hours. He decided, okay, I'm just going to build a course on this. And so he took his unique knowledge of this one pretty super niche sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go out and sell this for $297 a month, just for a subscription that you can get on. Once your test is done, you can unsubscribe, that kind of thing. And so that's what he did. He sold information products. And then he sold another information product and another and another. And before you knew it, this is pretty much all he did for a living. In the meantime, he had been laid off from his job.
Wow.
So, but the good news was he had these multiple streams of income. Now he's got this wildly successful podcast that he does. On a daily basis, he goes through and does coaching. Not daily, it's a couple times a week. Does coaching with people from all over the world and teaches them how to do exactly what he does, what he did. And he's got courses on it, too. Obviously, he makes some money
doing
that stuff.
So he's created a business.
Yeah. His name is Pat Flynn. So if you search for him in the iTunes store, he's consistently in the top 50 of all podcasts, and, you know, 50 to 100 or something like that.
So where are you going with this?
My point is that I'm just thinking about Des Moines itself. And I've tried to get chefs to do this kind of thing too, but like, what is it that makes you absolutely world class? There's got to be something that you do that somebody listening, you're like, I am the world best at needle pointing chicken designs on quilts. Okay, we both own chickens.
Right.
That's the first thing that came to my head, chickens, right? So what would it take for you to start getting that information out there? There are dozens of websites where you can host these courses where people come and they subscribe and you pay you a monthly fee. And, you know, you go on, and if you want to do individual coaching, you can charge them for individual coaching on how to do needlepoint for chickens. And my point is that, like, I say this because I'm creating my own course. I'm not pushing my course right now.
Right.
Because I haven't actually created it. But the point is just, look, we think that this world, you know, however we want to believe that this world is just Windsor Heights, Iowa. You know, it's hard to forget that there's somebody right now in Tunisia that is watching their country in the World Cup, and they happen to be, you know, scrolling through the internet trying to figure out how to do needlepoint for chickens, and all of a sudden they come across your course. I'm not saying they're gonna you know, throw down $197 to do it, but the point is that the world is so connected. And there's so much out there, especially with the knowledge that we all have. What can we do to find a market for that beyond just our little home in Windsor Heights, Iowa?
Interesting. So in other words, kind of taking this whole idea of what we're already doing and then building into a certain platform a longitudinal course or information that can be shared on a worldwide basis. And in your case, you were talking about restaurants and restaurants being able to do what?
Well, I noticed that most restaurants don't really have a strategy for how to sell private events. The ones that do it particularly well are the ones that actually call businesses, and on a regular basis, they have their list of 200 people or so, and they call up HR managers, and they call private party planners, and then once a year they have a big hoo-ha, you know, event where they invite all these people in and have them come and do like a food tasting in their place, maybe a wine tasting, and they wine and dine them, and they get them to think about their space as those are the types of people that are doing it well. On the other end, there are some people that have a space on their website that says, we do private events, here's the place where you can contact us. Now, that is not...
That's not very...
Well, it works because if people are looking for a private event...
Yeah, but you got to know that. You got to search that out. Mm-hmm. Rather than being aggressive in marketing that as something that you have, you let it lay on your website, and that's pretty passive.
Within the Des Moines city limits, and, I mean, 25 miles outside of the outside or radius of Des Moines, Iowa, there are 4,800... couples between the ages of 21 and 40 that are engaged to be married. Now, if you really wanted to be smart as a restaurant owner, you would run a nonstop ad for $2 per day, dripping on those people. The only thing, I mean, because, you know, $2 a day, we're talking, you know, a little over $700 a year. But one of those private event parties that you land, I'm talking about rehearsal dinners, bachelorette parties, bachelor parties. Maybe even the reception itself, if you're a big enough spot, they could have it pay for itself times 10 with just a $2 ad.
Even if you don't have that big a room, for example, we're in a room right now that's not very big, empty right now,
right,
as a matter of fact. Mm-hmm. But how many business luncheons or small groups that want to get through, civic groups, organizations, could come to a place like this if they knew that it was here?
Yeah.
And if it was aggressively marketed.
I mean, if there were 30 people that came to a lunch, each one $50 a head, $1,500 a lunch.
Hello.
I mean, that's on the high end. I'm talking about like super high end. If it's just a lunch spot, I mean, what's a room that's sitting vacant, $12 a person? You should be actively seeking out as many opportunities as you can. In fact, there are ways to do it that are free. We always talked about bots on the show before, too. One of the ways that I've done it is you put a little pop-up on the private events page of your site and says, are you interested in doing a private event at name of the venue? And it says yes. And so if you say yes, click on this button, and it brings you into their Facebook Messenger bot, which it'll ask you, okay, great. We'd love to have you here. Are you looking to do...
Tell us a little something.
Yeah. When is your event? What's the number to reach you? And what's your email?
And that's all done automatically through a bot. So there's nobody actually sitting there doing this. This is all marketing on the back end where you're not expending person hours doing it.
Right. And in fact, you're able to, if you really want to, you can put a link in there to give them a PDF, a full PDF document. So basically just like here's a brochure that have somebody click within the bot itself. And then since they're giving you their email, you can also have it automatically send them an email thanking them for coming up. And you could also kick off a 3 or 4 email sequence automatically to get people in the door to
And not only for restaurants, you know, there's all kinds of hotels and places all over that employ somebody to sit there. They're the salesperson. They're sitting there pounding the phones day after day, getting a hold of meeting planners and all these things. Why not do this automatically?
Well, a lot of them do. A lot of the big hotels do. They do a lot of this kind of stuff, text message based and things like that. But if you have a text message from somebody, I mean, if you have somebody's, cell phone number, you can do a lot of stuff. That plus a bot plus, personalized phone call, maybe a couple days later. So the point is that if I were to do this, if I were to create this course, the course that I'm thinking about, I'm not thinking about it, I'm writing it, there are people all over the world that are looking to find this kind of knowledge. And for whatever reason, they're just too busy, just don't know what's going on, don't even know the possibilities exist. But if I'm just able to sell this thing and sort of, offer it as a coaching course, then I might be able to sell other services on top of it as well. But I'm not, the point is that I want to help these people because they are getting hammered by national chains. These people are getting hammered by national chains, and I get fired up by it. You can see the goosebumps on my arms, but I get fired up by it because I'm so worried that these people just don't know what's coming.
Yeah.
And any opportunity I can give them to say, I have one restaurant, for example, their sales are up 16% this year.
That's good.
Over last year. And it's an established restaurant. And, all we're doing is just simple one or two things per day. Not a ton of stuff. This doesn't take up, the entire course of their time. It doesn't cost them a ton of money, for what they're getting out of
it. But double-digit increases in sales. That makes up for it.
I mean,
right?
Over time, it's going to be enormous for them.
So let's say, I don't want to go into all the details, but if that restaurant is up 16% in sales, how much of that 16% or that increase in revenue are they spending on marketing?
Oh, that's like not even a tenth of what it's what they're paying me.
Phil K. James, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Marketing for Business, episode 19, and sharing the knowledge. It's a good idea about podcast for business. Huh?
Yeah. Put a little course together.
In my spare time.
Yeah. Well, try to find 5 or 6 folks that would do like a trial run for you.
Yeah.
And, I'm interested to know how to do mixing and all that stuff. I have no idea. I mean, you could do an entire couple hours on just mixing.
Sure.
And especially with all you do, you have like... You almost have like 5 different radio shows if you want to comes down to it, right? Every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every day. Every single day.
Yep.
All right. That is Marketing for Business, episode 19 with Phil K. James. Good Milkshake Digital. Thanks, Phil, for doing this.
I'm going to be selfish on your behalf.
What?
And I want people that are listening to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, every other possible venue, and share this on your walls if you found any value out of any of Michael's stuff. He's too humble to say it sometimes, but it's okay. I'm going to say it for him. Subscribe and also leave reviews because that boosts his rating as well.
Thank you, my friend. So I appreciate it. All right, we've got to click on out of here. It is time for us to go for all of us associated with Insight on Business the News Hour. Thanks so very much for hanging in with us. We do appreciate it. Have yourself a great day. More coming up next.